Amen. And what a beautiful song. Thank you, choir. Isn't it great having the choir back? Whoa. Boy, did we miss you last week. It is so good to have you back. I want you to look at your neighbor and say, you are doing great. And I'll say this. So far this year, you have perfect attendance. It is good to see you in the house of God. I look forward to worshiping with you today. It's just, you know, it's a wonderful thing to know that our God loves us, that he's rooting for us, that he wants us to he wants to see us succeed. And isn't it funny, just as I say that, I realize that what's on my screen is not on the TVs. Isn't that crazy? How does this happen? It works perfectly right up to the time that we switch. Let's see if we can find it. So, you know, our God does want us to succeed, though. I'm positive about that. Do you believe that? And, you know, we make all kind of commitments this type of year where we're thinking about, you know, now, this year, I am going to do such and such, right? And then, you know what happens. So I'm going to have to ask them to just run it from up there, and we'll get through this without me having this. So if you could just go ahead and run with me as I read. In view of all this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith with generous provision of moral excellence, and moral excellence with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with patient endurance, and patient endurance with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love for everyone. The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Did you catch that succession there? How if you have one thing, the next thing is, you take care of this one, the next thing happens, right? You take care of these first things first, and the next things will happen. This is so key in dealing with procrastination, because procrastination is this crave in which opportunity is buried. And if we procrastinate, we miss opportunities. As you know, this morning we're starting a new series. It's going to be a series about expanding our lives, making our lives a greater life. As we find a way to be more and more like Jesus Christ, we always want to end the year better than we start the year, don't we? I really hope at the end of 2018 you can look at me and say, you know, Pastor Bill's better than he was at the beginning of the year. I hope you will say that. I hope that you at least think it. I hope that it'll be a reality. I hope that I will be a better person. Don't you want to be a better person at the end of this year? And I believe God wants that for us. And he says, don't procrastinate. Because when you procrastinate, you miss the opportunities, the waves that God is sending, right? God is sending us waves, and what are we doing? Missing the opportunity. And I believe if we're not taking care of the essentials in our lives, that's what starts happening. We start missing those great opportunities that God is sending because we have been procrastinating and we don't have time for the things that we thought that we wanted to do. You know, we know there are certain things we ought to do, don't we? Am I the only one like this? You know, we know that we ought to read Scripture regularly. We know we ought to pray. I mean, what could be more important than working on our relationship with God? That's got to be the highest priority, surely, in our lives. If we think about it, isn't it? I mean, wouldn't you think that there's nothing more important than that? But we'll get around to it. But first, we have to take care of these things, right? And this is one of the problems we run into. Let's look at some of these characteristics. First is defaulting. Defaulting is a terrible a problem that all of us deal with. And you know what it is? We know that there's something we ought to do, and it's like, hey, don't worry about that, honey. I'll take care of it this weekend. And this weekend comes, and we're sitting in front of the TV or the computer or playing games or whatever it might be. We intended to do the right thing, right? We intended. But friends, we are Christians, and this means that we don't intend to do stuff. You know, what's the old saying? The road to hell is paved with good intentions. We are commitment and covenant people. We are different from the world. We keep covenant. We are committed. because we followed Jesus Christ that only knew one way, and that was commitment all the way to the cross. Yes, he was born in a manger, and he never stopped on where he was going his entire life. He made a commitment on behalf of us. And he said, I will go to that cross no matter what people throw up in front of me. That was his plan from the very beginning, and he brought it to fruition. And this is our challenge, to say, I'm not going to default by doing non-essential things. And that's what happens. We start doing non-essentials, all these things that we think, oh, I'll just do this, and then I'll do that, because we don't want to sweat, right? Hey, you know what? God's okay with you sweating. Did you know that? In fact, what did he say when he sent us out of the Garden of Eden? He said, you will earn your living by the sweat of your brow. He always intended us to work hard and to sweat. Yes, even sweat. Can we read the scripture from Ecclesiastes? When you make a promise to God, don't delay in following through. For God takes no pleasure in fools. Keep all the promises you make to him. So if you make a promise to God, follow through with it. Make every effort. Did you catch that in the text, how that read? It said, make every effort. This isn't something we just slip into. But we make an effort to deal with the very important things. And when you make a promise to God, what could possibly be more important than that? And if you made a promise to God to treat your spouse with respect or to forgive somebody or ask forgiveness, that's something we don't just procrastinate about. We deal with those things. Because if we don't, you know what ends up happening? Those things will come back and bite us. And then we don't only have those things to deal with, we also have guilt and shame and all that stuff to deal with on top of it. So God says, deal with the promises that you make. Get them done. Just work on it. The second thing is overwhelmed feelings. Overwhelmed feelings, and this is a real one. I mean, sometimes people just have, you're just overwhelmed. There's just so much going on in your life. I can identify with this. It's not that long ago that we had to get a bunch of boys ready for church. And, you know, we had the ones that are now 19 and 17, they were 4 and 2. And I remember what that was like. You know, you just feel overwhelmed. My poor wife had to deal with most of this because I was serving three little churches. And I was buzzing between three churches and three communities and doing my best to just keep up with all that. And poor Beth. And I could just see her just overwhelmed sometimes because, you know, one kid's crying, another one is, you know, my tummy hurts, and the other one's like Cheerios all through the hair and saying, we got to get to church, but we make a commitment, right? We say, we're going to church. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. This is hard. Yes, it's hard. Of course it's hard. But when you make a commitment, you do the hard stuff. And even though you're overwhelmed, and sometimes we do get overwhelmed, and the reason we get overwhelmed so often is because we're dealing with a bunch of non-essentials. It's one thing. But look what this says. Lord, when my heart is overwhelmed, overwhelm me with your peace. And the best thing you can possibly do when you're overwhelmed is pray. When you're overwhelmed, just pray and ask God, help me with being overwhelmed because I feel overwhelmed here and I don't even know how to deal with this. Proverbs 2:2, could we read this? Nothing worthwhile is easy. Turn your eyes to wisdom and concentrate on understanding. If it's worthwhile, isn't it worth doing? If it's worthwhile, isn't it worth digging out from underneath the overwhelmed feelings? You know, and again, we're into commitment and covenant as Christians. So we do the hard stuff, even when we feel overwhelmed. Now, one of the things that we use sometimes as our excuse is, well, I'm busy, right? Oh, I'm busy. I'm so busy. Well, there's a reason I can't get this done. I'm busy. It's a great excuse, except it doesn't hold up because we make a choice of what we're going to do. Every one of us make a choice what we are going to do. And the question is, what do you want to do? Are you really too busy for the important things? You know, I remember when a children's message that I did one time, I remember sitting there with the little jar, and I had balls and a cup of sand. And I told the kids, I had, maybe you've seen this somewhere along the way, but I told them, I need to get all these balls and all the sand into this jar. How can I do that? So I put the sand in first and dumped the balls in on top, and there wasn't room for the balls. Then I dumped it all out, and I put the balls in first, and then I dumped the sand. The sand ran in down between the balls, and there was room for everything. And I think this happens in our lives. We don't do the essentials. We're so busy with the non-essentials that the essentials don't happen. And what did we just sing? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. There's time for the other stuff when we get our priorities right. But when we're overwhelmed, the first thing to do is pray and ask God to help you with your priorities. Disorganization is the next one. And this is a big one. 1 Corinthians 14, let's read it together. For God is not a God of disorder, but of peace. Do you see the opposites here? Order and peace are opposites. No order, no peace. But there has to be order in our lives. God is a God of order. So first things first. We take care of the first things first. You know, I want to just look at the scripture that we read. And just listen to the order of this. It says, in view of this, in view of what? In view of what God has done. In view of the divine power that God has given us. In view of this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Here's how. Supplement your faith with generous provision of moral excellence. Supplement that with moral excellence with knowledge. That moral knowledge with self-control. That self-control with endurance. That endurance with godliness. That godliness with brotherly love. And that brotherly love with love for everybody. God is a God of order. And it's taking care of the important things first and getting those right. And once we get those cared for, then we're able to deal with, have some order in our lives. Now, of course, you know that there's clutter in all of our lives, right? No, just the Blair household. We actually have a sign in our house. Remember, as far as everybody else knows, we are a normal family. Yeah. Hey, everybody has clutter. And it's not just physical clutter. There's all kind of clutter in our lives. You know, spiritual clutter, emotional clutter, all kind of trivial stuff that we make clutter. Sometimes, you know, what do you do about clutter? If you have someone that's a hoarder in your life, what do? You get the garbage cans, right? And you deal with the hoarding. And sometimes you're just hoarding all kind of non-essential tasks, all kind of non-essential feelings and emotions and all that. And all that just needs to be dumped in God's lap and said, I can't deal with all this stuff because it's keeping me from the essentials. You take it, God. So we've got to deal with disorganization as part of this. Now, you know, Deborah and Tina and Will and the other worship leaders and Pastor Kathy could tell you, we're really trying hard to get order in what we're doing. We're trying our very best. This might surprise you on the first Sunday of the new year, but we have the sermon plans going all the way past Easter. You know why? Because I want peace. I don't want disorder. Because I don't want to plan on something, and then the children choir says, well, we're going to sing, and then the orchestra says, oh, wait, we have a song that's perfect for that sermon. So I don't have the sermons written. I have the titles. I have the scripture. I know the main point. But that's as far as it is. But I need to make sure that there's some order so we have peace around here. Because if I'm out of order, I'm causing disorder for Deborah. I'm causing disorder for Tina. And Tina does not like disorder. Tina's one of the most ordered persons I know. And how wonderful it is to have order. And then we can all have peace. We all put it all together. The road to the upward call of excellence. Let's talk about that a little bit, because that's enough about the problems. Let's look at the first one here. Intentionally seek higher ground, right? You have to be intentional about it. You know, here's the thing. Opportunity is not going to walk into your house, drag you off the couch, and make you do it. You got to be out there making yourself available to the opportunity that God has given you. And it doesn't matter what we're talking about. You could talk about your career. You could talk about your relationships. You could talk about your relationship with God. Whatever it is, we have got to intentionally seek the higher ground. Let's read 2 Peter 1:5 together. A life of moral excellence leads to knowing God better. So we take this first step and we say, I'm going to start living a more moral life. Then I know God better. That makes it easier for me to live a more moral life. I know God better. And it's just this wonderful snowball that starts happening in our lives. And we just grow because now we're intentionally doing it. Sometimes it just takes this absolute intentionality. You know, here's the thing. Jesus said you must come to him as a child, right? Now, what do we know about children? I've seen this along the way, but now I'm getting to live it again, and it's just so much fun watching my granddaughter, who is now almost a year old, and she is just, every single day, just surprising us. You know how that goes? I mean, it's remarkable. A new word. Yeah, hardly can understand it, but it's a new word. And look, she's not taking three steps. She's taking five steps today. And just... every single day there's growth when you're a child. And Jesus is saying, you must come to God as a child. And what's he call us? He calls us disciples. What do disciples do? We're constantly learning and going to the next level every single day. I think it's so sad when people say, I made it. Now, they won't say that out loud, but they'll think it. They'll say, I've now reached that level. I have made it. I don't really need to grow anymore. I'm pretty satisfied with where I am. I doubt that God is satisfied with where you are. I don't care how good you are. God always wants you to seek the higher ground and go on to moral excellence, knowing God better and better and better as you walk along your way. I know that God wants the best for you. I have no doubt about that. I've read the scripture many times. And what I see over and over is God rooting for his kids, saying, I want you to do the best that you could possibly do. And we don't ever give up because God wants us to do better. Let's look at the next one. Cease rationalization or perfectionism. Oh boy, here's our problem. We can rationalize like anything. Well, I would have done that, but I had to do this. Or I wanted to, but I couldn't. And all this rationalization we do. And then there's perfectionism, and that's another big issue. Perfectionism is this notion that I've got to hold up this image that I've put out there. And it doesn't matter how long I have to keep working on this. And so we end up late for everything. And sometimes you just got to set a deadline that when I reach this point, I'm done. You know, I mean, when we were writing this book, and maybe you've heard about the book that I just put together. Well, it was written before I got here, but we were editing, and we edited, and we edited, and we edited it. And I said, we're doing this for Lent, and I don't care if it's perfect or not. I mean, we did our best. We proofed it. But it comes to a point where it would never get published if I wanted to have perfection. You are going to find typos in that book. I hope so. Because I would have really wasted time if I would have read it again. We did our best, and best is good enough. Perfection is not of human attainment. And sometimes we just got to say, I can't get there. I can't get to perfect. I accept that I can't get to perfect. It's okay that I can't get to perfect. I'm going to get it done so I can get on to the next thing that God has for me. Because sometimes people just tie themselves in knots, trying to rationalize why they're doing what they're doing and not getting all the important things done. You've got to stop the rationalization. Nextly, you've got to believe you can with God's help. Oh, we didn't read Psalm 32:3. I'm sorry. Let's read what happens when you don't. When I refused to confess my sin, I was weak and miserable, and I groaned all day long. And that's that rationalization that just says, I would if I could, but I can't, so I won't. But we can. And we just need to say, I will and I can. Next point here. Believe you can with God's help. And this is really important. You know, this text is started with, for this reason, in view of all this, make every effort. When you see a statement like that, for this reason, or therefore, or because of this, always look what comes before. And what comes right before is by his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. So therefore, I can. Philippians is right. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, right? I can. Do you believe you can? Do you believe that you have the ability and the power to do what the important things that God has for you to do? You say, maybe some of you are saying, well, look, that's impossible. Is it really? You're God's kid. God's in the impossible business. He does it all the time. He does it every day. Now, he doesn't call you to do things that are not your responsibility. He calls you to do the things that are our responsibility. And we have the responsibility of taking care of the things that we can. But what happens is we start thinking that maybe we can't. But here's what Proverbs 16:3 says. Commit your actions to the Lord, and your plans will succeed. That's not maybe. It will. It will succeed when you commit your actions to the Lord. If they're the things that God has put before you to do, and you feel in your heart of hearts that God wants you to do this, then stop saying, I can't. You can. Through Christ who strengthens you. You can beat that addiction. You can do whatever it takes to do whatever you're dealing with. God will give you the power. I want to tell you about my German shepherd that I had one time. When I was dairy farming, we had a German shepherd that came to us as a stray. We believe to this day he was almost certainly a service dog who, when they did the x-ray, probably failed the test because he was the smartest dog I have ever been around. I mean, he literally learned cows' names, literally. We could say, go get Lori, and he would go get Lori. He was a smart, smart dog. But I remember this dog showing up one day. He was about 6 to 9 months old. That's why we always figure he's probably a service dog that failed the test, because they usually test him as soon as they get to full growth, before full maturity, to see what's going on with their... I'm sorry, is that what we're talking about? Okay, thank you, honey. She helps me to go on to excellence. When you commit your actions to the Lord, Joe was this German shepherd that taught me so much about when you really want to do something, you gotta do it, but you gotta believe that you can. One of the things that happened with Joe as he got older is his hips started to go bad. But he wanted to be with us so badly. It was everything to him to be with his masters. And I remember he would follow us wherever we went. He would ride in the truck with us. When we were working downstairs in the barn, we wanted to take the shortcut up the steps to the upstairs of the barn instead of going out around and up around. If I went up the steps, Joe would just bound up behind me. But as he got older, it became more and more difficult. And I can remember going up the steps and Joe at the bottom of the steps going, and I'd say, come on, buddy, you can do it. And his ears would go up and his tail would go up and he'd bound up the stairs. And he kept doing that for many years after he thought he couldn't, until he focused on his master and said, I can. Yes, I can. But here's the deal. If he stood there and I just walked away, he would stand for 20 minutes because he wanted to, but he didn't have his focus. Friends, I believe that if we put our focus on God, all things are possible. And I believe we can do way more than we think we can do. But we've got to commit our actions to the Lord and believe with God's help, all things are possible, and fight forward in whatever it is. Next point. Make it a reality by beginning. And this is key. Again, Joe, if he would stand there at the bottom of the steps, and if I didn't call him up quickly, and he would start circling, just going in circles at the bottom of the steps. And if I waited too long, he couldn't make it up the steps. Because he spent so much time in negative meditation about being able to make it up the steps. And I believe the same thing happens to us. We spend so much time in negative meditation saying, I can't, I can't, I can't, I can't. And we never get to, I can, I can, I can. I was raised in a house, very fortunate for what my dad taught me before he died. My dad taught me, Blairs do not say can't. It's not part of our vocabulary. I guess being raised in an abusive alcoholic home and going out and starting his own business taught him that if you believe it and you try hard enough, you can do it, but you got to start. And this is what holds us back. Sometimes we just don't start doing what we know that we need to do. So here at the beginning of 2018, I invite you, start doing the things that you know you want to do and can do and that God has put in your lap. Make it a reality by actually starting. Next, let the games begin, right? Yeah, raccoons are so much fun. They are so much fun because they just do it. I mean, they just do it. Let the games begin in your life. Enjoy your life more fully. Do the things that God has put in your lap. Just do it. Let's read the next scripture. Proverbs 6:10. This comes, you know, my ant book is based on Proverbs chapter 6, consider the ant in all its ways. And it goes on in that chapter, and it comes to verse 10, and it talks about what happens that if you just, it says, consider the ant, hey, lazy bones, unless you get out of bed. And here's what it says. Let's read it. A little extra sleep, a little more slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will pounce on you like a bandit. Scarcity will attack you like an armed robber. Remember the old comic strip, Wizard of Id? One day, Wizard of Id is standing there, and a guy is standing behind him with his finger in his back, says, give me all your money. The next frame, Wizard of Id says, turns around, he says, you don't even have a gun. And the guy says, that's the first thing I'm going to buy when I get some money. And the thing is, I think a lot of people are doing great guns in some areas, and they're enjoying all kind of prosperity in those areas. Maybe it's career, maybe it's whatever. And then there's these other areas where there's procrastination. And there's poverty in those areas. And we've got to decide, where are the prosperity areas in our lives and where are the poverty areas of our lives? And say, I've got to deal with some of these poverty areas. If you have poverty in spirituality, I got to tell you, one of the things that I've noticed about this congregation, you know, it's coming here, I have noticed that there are a lot of accomplished people in this congregation, you know, all three services. When I look around, I think of the accomplishments, the incredible career accomplishments of people. It's impressive. It's very impressive. A lot of prosperity in those areas. And yet, where are the areas where there's not prosperity? Where is the area of scarcity? Where is the thief stealing from your joy? Where's the poverty? We got to deal with those areas. We got to get honest. Finally, treasure Christian counsel. And this is what's really going to win the day for everybody. You know, I believe, first of all, the most important point here was trusting that God can do it. This is the second most important one. Treasure Christian counsel. Because in Christian counsel, there is wisdom. In Christian counsel, things can happen. When I was writing my book, one of the things that helped to make that happen is I actually was using a personal coach. And I would call this personal coach every week at the beginning of the week and say, okay, now, he would help me set my goals. We would decide what I was going to accomplish that week, how I was going to get the next step done. Because I always thought I needed to write this book. I mean, this book was in plans from the time that I was at Titusville. And I was a district superintendent for 5 years when I finally wrote this book. And I thought, I need someone to help me every single day. And it's called a life coach. You know, there's now talk about Olympics, you know, with North Korea wanting to go to the Olympics. And now we're starting to hear about the Olympics. Can you imagine somebody showing up at the Olympics without ever having a coach? Why is it that we think coaches are so important in sports and we don't think we need them in life? Could someone explain that to me? I mean, what are sports really more important than life? I think we need coaches. And you know, coaching in relationships is a little bit different from coaching in sports. Coaching is having relationships that you trust, good Christian counsel, good Christian witness that will hold you accountable, will give you wisdom, will help you, build you up, encourage you, help you along the way, help you challenge yourself, get to the place where you want to be. That's why I encourage small groups. Because let's face it, what you learn here in the sanctuary, I mean, you're only going to retain a small amount of it. I'm under no illusion. And what happens in small groups, you retain most of that. And I just encourage you, be in a Sunday school class. Join a small group. Join up. Get some Christian counsel. Treasure it. Don't just achieve it. Treasure it. It's the best thing you can do for yourself. It'll take you to a place where you want to be. 1 Thessalonians 5:14, let's read it. Brothers and sisters, we urge you to warn those who are lazy. Encourage those who are timid. Take tender care of those who are weak. And be patient with everyone. I think we need everyone on this road to excellence. I really do. I think without having everybody helping us along this road, we're not going to make it the full journey. And with somebody helping us, we could do incredible things. You know, I think of Dwight L. Moody, who was kind of like the Billy Graham of his day as far as filling large places of worship and such, and stadiums. And one of the things that Dwight L. Moody said, he said, we need to pray like everything depends on God and work like everything depends on us. There's a lot of wisdom in that saying. We'd be surprised what we can accomplish when we start working like everything depends on us and praying like everything depends on God. I believe what Dwight L. Moody said. Because there's some things that God won't do until we pray, and there's some things God won't do until we act. And sometimes we just need to act. As I said earlier, opportunity knocks at the door. It will not drag you off the couch. And you got to make a decision. What's the most important thing you need to care for in 2018? And say, I am going to deal with this issue. Nothing's going to stop me. I am making a commitment. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. We're going to get this straight in our lives. We're going to deal with this issue. And we make that commitment. Wherever the poverty is, think about it. Where's the poverty in your life? Where is it? I want to pray for you. Dear Lord God, we take this seriously. We love you. We love you so much. We love your ways. Your ways are so high. And you've called us to this upward trek of excellence. You've called us, Lord, to come and to know you, to come and worship, to come and be, to come and be better, to be more like Christ. And God, we want to do that. That is our desire. And we pray that you would put some order into our disorder, that you would take some of the chaos out of our lives, and that you would help us to go to the higher ground. Lord God, we think of that German shepherd standing at the bottom of the steps, and we do not want to be like that. We want to be someone that hears you calling us to higher ground. God, call us to higher ground today. Let us know it's possible with you. Lord, we pray that you pour your spirit into our spirit, that you would guide us in our lives. We pray, Lord, for those who some of the chaos is recent death or hurt or ache, health issues, all these things. And God, we think of the Varner family that's had a loss just this week. And we ask, God, your blessing there. We pray, Lord, for others who are dealing with the same type of anguish that's in the very recent past, that God, by your mercies, that you would touch and heal their hearts, and that you would help them to not fall in love with the darkness, but to be able to find their way out of that grief to the higher ground. We ask, God, that you would bless this congregation, that 2018 would be a year of greatness for every single person sitting in this congregation right now. God, I placed them in your hand. I ask, God, your blessing upon them, that you would do mighty, mighty things in and through them, because of them or in spite of them, that, Lord, you would just work great things in their lives. We pray your blessing on their families, that this year, 2018, would be a year of not financial prosperity necessarily, but prosperity in many areas. The relationships would get better, that it'd be healthy, that the lives would be good, and that your blessing would rest upon each one. And we know this cannot be done without you. And so, God, we ask that you would guide us through 2018, that you would remind us of the thoughts that we've had today as we've thought about this message, that we would remember our commitment to this higher ground. So, God, we ask that you would lead us in all truth and all righteousness and all peace. And Lord, in that same vein, would you lead us in the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples when they prayed? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.